Welcome to another episode of Overasked. Today, I mean, I do say it a lot, Eric, that it's a very special guest, but today, I mean, it's a very special guest here. From Jimmy Kimmel to Good Morning America to the biggest interview I would feel of his career now, Overasked podcast. We got Ari Leyendyke Jr. He's a former race car driver, bachelor, realtor. As if you're watching the video, handsome as ever. I mean, we got the guy on the podcast. We locked him down for a couple minutes. So Ari, thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Big fan of you guys. Obviously follow the social accounts and great content. I always have to laugh. You know, I'm a big fan of the memes. So I was like, heck yeah, I'll come on board and chat a little bit.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on. And we just kind of want to dive right into this. We had a lot of your fans kind of submit questions for us, so we're gonna ask a bit about everything from your race car career to the bachelor to the real estate. I mean, just how did it all come about? So, like, were you a real estate agent on the bachelor?
So the first time around, I was a race car driver because that was my primary career. I did have my license. I got my license in 2005, but the first time I was on the Bachelorette, I was the race car driver, and Emily Maynard had been engaged to a race car driver. So that was kind of like the storyline. And then the second time around, real estate was my primary career. So they kind of showed me selling some stuff and, you know, followed me around on listing appointments. I kind of I've had two different careers over my life. I guess more than two. I feel like I have like 10 different jobs, but yeah, real estate is my primary career now.
Sweet. Yeah. We actually had, a bachelorette. She was on the Bachelor, Caitlin Clemens. We've had her on. She's a realtor out my way in Toronto. And it sounds like the Bachelor is a career of its own while it's happening. There's not much you can really do during that time.
They pay the lead, you know, as the Bachelor, you get paid just because you're constantly flying and doing press and you're committed to them. So your time is taken up with doing interviews and kind of you're at their beck and call. Being on The Bachelor kind of spins off into a whole different career that you never would imagine having, you know, like Instagram and everything that kind of comes with the notoriety and having sort of the spotlight on you. It opens up other opportunities. A lot of people kind of run with it and just try to like move to LA and become an actor and kind of do that whole thing. But I never really wanted to do that. I always wanted to get back home, dive back into real estate. It changed my real estate career. I was like predominantly luxury before. And now I have a lot of opportunities that come just out of the blue, which is really cool. You know, I don't have to like really go search for leads too much, but now I have a team underneath me. I hand them a lot of the lower stuff and then I still handle the luxury.
I always felt sorry for Bachelor or Bachelorette contestants in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s, because there wasn't really a social media presence. Yeah. So they kind of missed out on the entire kind of blue check, like brand ambassador influencer stage, which I'm sure could be lucrative, right? Like if you were on The Bachelor, you probably have like a good 2 or 3 year window of, you know, hyper relevancy and like where brands are reaching out to you constantly. Was that ever something you did after The Bachelor as well, or was it just straight into real estate?
Yeah, no, I still do that. You know, we do a lot of collabs with brands and, you know, we have a family of three. I mean, well, we have three kids, so we're a family of five. So there are a lot of brands that love sort of our story and our content on Instagram. If you follow me, you see that I don't really post about real estate too often. It's more of my personal life. So I had the two different worlds. I was on The Bachelorette, and that was in 2008, I think. No, 2012. And Instagram had just sort of became a thing. And so there was no real, I mean, I had a big Twitter following because before Instagram, it was kind of like Twitter and Facebook. And so there was no real influencer stuff going on back then. And then fast forward to becoming The Bachelor, it was kind of a whole different world. And I kind of had to like sort out who was there authentically and then who was there to kind of like grab the following and like make a career out of being on TV. So that was kind of one of the things that I was really weary of when I was on the show. And then it's just kind of ironic because now I do some you know, product, and I push some brands on my page. So yeah, it is kind of an odd thing that I had sort of both scenarios and kind of lived through both of those stages.
So with the huge following, and I've noticed like you do have a couple of real estate videos. There's like a property tour video with Lauren that I think is like 9 minutes long. And then you had a couple videos just kind of talking about what's going on in the market and doing some real estate education back in October. Is that going to be kind of more strategy going forward, since you have such a massive following, to utilize that for real estate? Or do you think you're going to kind of keep it more the YouTube and family type content?
It's kind of hard because there's like very limited amount of people on my that follow me that are like, yes, show me more real estate stuff, you know, and I'd love to do it because it's my passion, but I kind of see like a decline in my engagement. So I usually kind of like follow what people like to see. And that's kind of the hard part, because I think whenever you're like building a page and trying to build a brand for yourself, like you want to do what you're passionate about, but a lot of times people just like don't care about it.
Yeah.
So I would love to be like doing home tours and stuff, but I do see like a decline in my engagement. And then my other businesses, you know, we do a lot of brand deals on Instagram, so I have to make sure that those numbers are good. So I have like this delicate balance, which is always hard for me. I've always thought about doing like a separate page, but then, you know, wouldn't have the following that I have on there. So it's just like a balance, which is hard.
Yeah. You can always hide.
We interrupt each other once an episode. This is it. But you're like us. We post something. If we don't get the engagement in about 2 minutes, it's fucking off the feed. I mean,
we're depressed for the next 48 hours. So we feel you there. It's a good strategy to hide stuff in your stories though. So at least like you're not seeing, I mean, you see the amount of like story views, but at least other people aren't being like, oh my God, Ari just posted something. I got 2 comments. Haha. You know, like it's fine to like hide it in the stories, but I definitely feel like also if you take Instagram in too many different directions where it's like, okay, there's brand deals, there's family stuff, there's real estate, then it's all over the place with like the algorithm and shit.
Yeah. And that's what I do. Like, I just kind of pepper it in, you know what I mean? And like the people that are tuned into that and are really interested in that, they engage like heavily, but then the majority who, you know, let's say they aren't interested in it, like the next story slide might be something different that they like better. Right. So yeah, I try to keep it like pretty diverse when it comes to my page on that. But yeah, I have seen a couple of things that you guys post on your page, and it is on point. You know, like there's a whole strategy about getting high engagement on Instagram, and that leads to leads for real estate, but it also leads to, you know, promotional deals for myself. So I kind of have to balance both.
Yeah.
So how are you getting your leads for real estate right now?
I use KV Core, and I do like a funnel on Instagram a lot. So, you know, we joked about the EXP model. That's kind of what like brought us on this call together, because I commented on one of your EXP posts, which, you know, EXP kind of has a little bit of a bad rap when you're like, I guess not in EXP, you don't understand the model well. You're just feeling like you're trying to get sold by other realtors.
Oh, we understand the model.
Yeah. I mean, but like a lot of people don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I do like a funnel through KV Core, which is sort of a CRM that you get with EXP. And then through that funnel, I'll just do like a weekly Zoom, and I'll chat with agents on that. And that's sort of how I get my agent attraction, you know, I would say, as far as like that goes. As far as leads for buying and selling, I'm just constantly like trolling through my or going through my DMs and kind of looking to see if people reached out. And then it's just my book of business that I built since 2005 when I got into real estate. It's usually just like a lot of recurring, which is, I'm really fortunate to have really great clients. In the beginning, before all of this, the way I got my sort of start in real estate and the way I became a luxury agent, I guess, quote unquote, I guess anyone could be a luxury agent if they say they're one. But the way I started selling big real estate was I was flipping paper. So in Arizona, you have every contract is assumable. So I would find like really good deals, whether it be like the pre-foreclosure list that I get from the title company, or I would just like get on MLS first thing in the morning, see what was new on the market. I have a bunch of alerts for different neighborhoods. And then if I found something that was like a really good deal, I would actually write it in my name. I had a really good friend who like would be my money guy, so I could just write a cash offer. And then within those 10 days, I would literally just like call all my friends, all my like people that I knew that could have the money to buy said real estate. And I would try to assign the contract in their name. And then I would just get the buyer broker commission.
Nice.
And I would just roll it. And I just keep doing that. Like basically like try to do like one or two a month, you know, so I'd be closing at least one or two deals a month. And then when I made those people money and they turned around and sold those properties and basically I was wholesaling, then they trusted me with their personal properties or bigger properties or different projects. And that's kind of how it built up. And so, that's how I got my book of business.
Yeah. So you were pretty established before all of this stuff. Like some people, I mean, there's been a couple bachelors that you've seen, they kind of, I guess, got their license maybe after and try and just leverage the fame to get business, but you're established and you had, you know, things in place that you were a pretty successful agent before all this. So does the fame and like the kind of celebrity of it all, is it hard to navigate through leads? Like you're saying, you check your DMs and stuff. Is a lot of that just fans like posing as a lead or something? Like, is that, does that get tricky?
It is. It does get tricky. And typically it's like, you know, first time home buyers or someone selling their house and, you know, they're like on the fence and they're like, oh, my mother suggested you cause she watches The Bachelor. And then it's like, it's awkward, like interaction.
Thanks.
You know, it's a little bit of that, but I can't like complain because at the end of the day, if I sell their house, like it led to that, The Bachelor led to me selling another house, which is great. You know, like,
right.
Like I'll take it all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a little bit to sift through. I would say that it's a little bit awkward. But I would guess like 50% of those people actually pan out to be a real client in the future.
Wow.
So yeah. So if they're reaching out, you know, that's a pretty solid lead. Then I would say it's not just like, you know, one out of every 10 or something. Otherwise then it wouldn't be worth it.
That's a pretty good deal though. I mean, you have to sift through either, you know, 50% are going to buy, 50% are just going to be fans and love you. You know, me, 50% are going to buy and 50% are going to tell me to go fuck myself. So that's pretty good that you get,
you take those numbers all day.
Yeah. I'll take that all day
50%
long.
Tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah. What I call them, of course.
Right. Oh, I thought you just meant like in your DMs.
No.
Just had people just shooting off.
No, people are very nice to me on my Instagram. Yeah, exactly. I'm saying when I call and door knock, you know, but right. I guess you can. Yeah. I mean, it'd be pretty.
I used to door knock. I used to do everything. Look, I was super hungry. When I first got my license, I literally didn't close a deal for the first 7 months and I was baroque. I was freaking eating top ramen in my condo. I lost everything after 2008 because I was a professional race car driver and then I bought too many properties and then the market crashed and I got caught with my pants down. Basically was doing ride and drives, which is like what drivers do if they don't have any, like if they don't have a ride, they go do promotional work for manufacturers and they get paid a couple hundred bucks a day, which isn't bad, but you're always traveling and it's just not what I wanted to do. So I got back into real estate or I got into real estate and I struggled for a while, but I door knocked, I did it all. I can't door knock now. That'd be weird. Plus it's COVID. I was going to say
that'd be hilarious. You should do like, you should do a show of just Ari door knocking. People doing what the fuck is The Bachelor doing? It's like, hey, want to sell? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. That would be actually pretty funny, actually. Yeah. Maybe I should just do that in my
just like hidden. That'd be so funny. Like the reactions, especially when they like make the connection.
Yeah. Or they don't, which is probably
which is funny.
You're waiting for a reaction and they're just like, hello, what's up, man?
Yeah, they're like, no soliciting.
So one of the fan questions we got was, what do you drive to showings?
Yeah, because you're a race,
since you're a race
driver.
Car driver. Like, are you driving like a
Ferrari?
Car
or something? Everybody stop what you're doing right now. Stop listening to the podcast and focus your attention on what Matt Leonetti is about to say. Stop.
Thank you. In real estate, it's work hard and play hard. Is it happy hour yet?
Hopefully.
I hope so too. Well, when you partner with Boomtown, the number one rated real estate CRM, the work hard gets a little bit easier. It's all the tech tools and support you need to generate and close conversation ready leads. Run your business smarter with Boomtown so you can work hard and play harder.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. To check out Boomtown and see how you can score $750 in free digital advertising, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
Boom. Yeah.
No, I don't. I have a Raptor, Ford Raptor.
Nice.
I drive that because I can throw the signs in the back.
Right.
And then my wife has an Escalade, a new Escalade. So exactly. I usually either take one or the other one, but usually the Raptor because the Escalade's full of like graham crackers and like like used wipes on the ground and it's really gross. Ew. So usually it's
like,
the Raptor.
Like baby wipes?
Yeah, you know, like baby wipes from changing diapers. Yeah.
I guess that's what we have to look forward to when we have kids.
Then you and I have kids, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before this, I told Ari that I always wanted twins. And he said, do you even have like a girlfriend? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm happily married. He was pretty shocked that any girl would ever talk to me. So
no.
Do you have like a fun car that you go to the track with or anything like that?
You know, it's really weird because I don't. I have, I've got a couple motorcycles. I've got a dirt bike. I've got like a side-by-side. So I have a lot of toys, but I don't have like a sports car. I think for some reason, a lot of my race car driver buddies are like this too. Like once you've driven kind of everything out there, like it just kind of hurts me to pay like 200 grand for like a Porsche, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Like yeah. I might, if I just have the money to burn one day, but I just like would rather invest that in something, or especially with kids, like I don't have the time to like run around. And if I am doing it for real estate, I don't want to look like too pretentious. I feel like there's a good line. Like, you know, the standard white SUV is like the good realtor car. And if you're like driving like a freaking Porsche Turbo, like some people are gonna be like, wow, this guy makes too much money, or what a jackass, you know? I don't know. I feel like there's like a line.
See, you've heard it from Ari. I mean, if Ari says that, I think it's just true. I say that all the time. I think there's a line where you just become unrelatable.
Yeah, if you're driving a Maserati around, I mean, people do that here in like Los Angeles, but then will people want to work with you if you're trying to sell like $1 million condo or something, or are they only going to see you as like the luxury agent that's doing $25 million, $30 million properties? And then, yeah, you kind of look like a douchebag if you're pulling up in one of those. So
yeah, I think there's a line. I feel like too, like people don't want to, like I used to have this financial advisor and he always drove like fancy cars. And I was like, so like, if I use you, are you just going to like take my money and buy like a Ferrari? I don't get it. Like, how are you making this amount of money? I don't know.
I mean, some people think like I certainly think like that as well. Like when I'm getting a service and someone rolls up in like a $10,000 suit and a Ferrari, I'm like, well, I don't think you need my cert. Like, you know, I don't know if I should use you.
Because
obviously you're making enough as it is. So, I mean, and we always get that, right? As real estate agents, that we make too much anyways. So to just flaunt it in front of a, you know, first time home buyer that's struggling for a down payment, maybe not the best move.
Yeah. Maybe save that one for like the $20 million listing.
I know. You could have like a fun car if you're, you know, if you have the money to go to your luxury listings with, but then have like something that's a little bit more subtle.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, for sure.
Have you found that the like exhilaration and adrenaline rush of driving race cars and being on TV has kind of helped with your attitude in real estate, like dealing with a difficult home buyer or a needy seller or something like that? Like your emotions, it's like you've literally had your life on the line during race car driving. Has that helped kind of like subside the emotions that you feel in real estate? Is that a stupid question?
No, I mean, like I think
kind of.
I think
it's on the fence.
Yeah, it's all right. Come on.
No. I mean, there's like pressures in being on TV and pressures in racing, you know, and then there's like this incredible intense, like driving the Indy 500, for example. You have 400,000 people, your life's on the line. You want to do good for your sponsors. You want to crush it. There's like an insane amount of pressure. So I think once you've dealt with that kind of pressure, the small stuff, you don't sweat. You know, if I lose a deal, even if it's a $3 million deal and I lose it, I'm like, whatever, you know? Whereas I think if that is like the pinnacle for you and like you lose that deal, then you're just like crushed, you know? And I think the attitude that I've sort of taken from doing the other stuff and brought to real estate is I think I'm way more laid back. And I think I'm more comfortable, and then people can kind of feel and sense that. And they know that I'm not like holding on too tight and like really need this commission or really need this sale. So I think my attitude is just a lot more relaxed. And I think that just rubs off.
Yeah, you exude a very calming energy.
Yeah, I'm very calm right now.
Yeah, I'm calm too. This is the calmest. Usually my heart's like pounding through these interviews. This is the best I've ever felt.
I want to use you as my agent, and I'm an agent. I'm sure my wife would be from Arizona. My wife would be
from
more
Tucson,
than that.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's so you're in Phoenix doing luxury real estate there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What does real estate look like there in terms of price point? Like, what is your 4 or 5 million? Is like,
yeah, I would say that's like the ballpark I like to be in. But yeah, now stuff is going for like 1.5 to 2 is like you would look at it 3 years ago and be like, that's totally not worth that. But now, you know, what's luxury? I guess over a million. If that's luxury, then there's, you know, your average price point in Scottsdale right now is like almost, I think it's 980. So, you know, basically everything's luxury, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here in Toronto as well. I mean, the stuff that is like,
you shut that thing up.
No, totally. Don't bark. We got,
you know, what's funny about Toronto,
this whole episode. Yeah.
Toronto is like, anytime I post something online about a property, like just sold or like just listed, someone from Toronto is like, that'll buy a one bedroom condo in Toronto.
I know. Yeah. It's like, really, it's getting really bad.
Always people from Toronto commenting on the real estate here.
Yeah, I know. We're supposed to be nice as well. And then when it comes to real estate, they just like heckle you on online, everyone, because our market is so bad. It's so crazy, especially for first time buyers. It's just like
impossible.
Yeah. It's similar to New York, I'd assume.
I guess if you're in real estate, then you're crushing it though, if you can find a house for somebody.
Yeah. I'm doing all right, Ari. Doing all right.
Ari, do you go to any of these like real estate conferences, EXP Con? So like, do you go to like events and are you like out there in the real estate agent community or what are you doing?
Yeah. So funny enough, so I was at the RE/MAX from 2000, since I got my license up until September, never went to one of their conferences. They have like R4. Got invited to go a ton. You know, I feel like every brokerage has like their levels built in, like I'm 100% agent or I'm a platinum agent. And so then they get you to go to these conferences. And I was always like, eh. But with EXP, I was like, I was invited to go and I was invited to speak there. And so interesting because I had been with the company, you know, I'd switched in September and this was a few weeks ago, mid-November. So I went and it was actually really good to go because I got to learn a lot about all their lead gen, about their marketing. And I got to sit in, Serena Williams did a little talk. I was on
stage. She's with EXP too? Jeez.
No, I didn't hire her on. Mario Lopez was there. I mean, they had like freaking the best parties. I had a blast. We got away from the kids for a couple of days, Lauren and I, and we just had a ton of fun. And then I got to speak on stage with Elena Cardone, Grant Cardone's wife, and she's just like such a boss, you know. And I was like, dang, like she does this for a living. She's a public speaker. She crushed it. I was just like, she was talking, we're on like a panel. So she was on one couch and I'm on the other couch. And we had like a moderator. Her name was Lisa Copeland. She's with EXP. She's like in my upline. She's kind of one of the people that brought me over. And so she's like interviewing her and interviewing myself. And I'd watch her and I'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's really good. And then they'd be like, what do you have to add, Ari? And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm on stage. You know, it was kind of wild, but it was a real honor. It was really cool. And I'm really glad I went and I'll probably continue to go. And I think with EXP, the cool part is if you do have agents that are underneath you from different parts of the country, it's like one place to come to like hang, to like collaborate and meet. And I think for EXP, it's a way more productive thing than maybe with a different brokerage like RE/MAX.
That makes sense. Yeah, the Cardones, their kids are like keynote speakers. One of their daughters I see on Instagram is, I don't know, she's got to be like 10 years old or something. And she's doing like 50,000 person venues.
She did a TED
I know
talk.
It's like the, yeah.
She did a TED talk.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean,
it's
the
crazy
guts that takes, like, you know, we're doing like Zoom interviews and stuff, but it's scary sometimes speaking at these conferences. Do you see that as like a route for you? Because there's a ton of money in speaking and kind of motivation and
absolutely
going to these kinds. Absolutely not. Okay, there you go.
That's like you. Like Eric, that's like you.
What do you mean?
You're because I don't want to do really, it. You don't like it. Yeah.
We've been
asked quite a bit, but Eric, you don't love it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you do.
I like to party at these conferences. I don't want to like preach to people. Like you said, the EXPCon was in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I was in Vegas, and they were like, oh, I was picturing like a conference room with like 100 people, and I walk in and it's literally a room packed full of like 6,000 people. Damn. And I'm just like, huge screen, like massive stage. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I have a fear of public speaking. Like even when I was on The Bachelor, when there was 30 women in front of me and I had to give like, hey guys, you know, really good to see you. And I'm really excited for our journey together. I would be like sweating bullets because I just hate the whole like talking in front of a crowd. So yeah, speaking in front of an audience like that was, you know, semi terrifying. And I don't think I'd choose that as a career path. I'm more of like a one-on-one person. But it was still cool to do it. I'm so glad I did it. But
yeah. When you were speaking, was Mario Lopez still there watching you?
Why are you more concerned about Mario Lopez? Serena Williams is like the queen of tennis. Like Mario Lopez, are you kidding?
I grew up on AC Slater, man. It's just like if I ever saw him, I mean,
he's a cool
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. He was not there at that moment. I think there for like the opening gala and then just like jetted out of there. But I got to hang out with the Cardones quite a bit. And Grant is a really cool guy. He's super humble, super like humble. What you see on Instagram versus like what you get one-on-one is like, I feel like very different.
Oh, okay.
But also, you know, we were kind of in his suite and we were talking, Elena and I were talking about what we're going to talk about in the Q&A and kind of how to position ourselves and what we're going to say. And he would like chime in from the other room. He's like, you know, ask what kind of superhero you'd be, or like, and we're like, what the heck? So, but she like had all these like great answers because they probably do this talk, you know, city to city. Anyways, he was really cool. He was like trying to give pointers and, you know, basically like trying to help us with our talk because I think Elena does it a lot, but I obviously don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like he's such a presence. Like, I feel like living with them would be like, just from what you said, him yelling from the other room, it'd just
he's
be like
a polarizing
hilarious.
Figure for sure.
Yeah, he is.
That you have like half the real estate community that thinks he's kind of like not a fraud, but just like that he's like fronting all this stuff. And then you have like another half that's like, you know, really in his corner.
We've
had no experience with him, so we can't speak.
No.
I got sent his book, so I'm going to read it. And
the 10X one. Matt has that.
Yeah, he's coming in town too, I think. So I think he's speaking here in Scottsdale. So I might jump in there, check it out. But yeah, people have said like once you hear him talk and once you read the book, like you're hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's always crazy to hear because even I spoke with Ryan Surrant in October and same kind of experience, like what you kind of see online when you just like talk to him. I mean, he's an awesome guy both ways, but like he's pretty like, he's super humble, down to earth. Like, and sometimes you would just expect someone of that caliber to be just so different and maybe not as welcoming, but
yeah,
I was actually pleasantly surprised how awesome he was.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's cool to hear Grant's the same because it's fun to poke fun at Grant because his motivational stuff is like, whatever, you love it or hate it, but it's fun to just kind of,
Yeah, for sure.
Some fun with it, but he's no doubt crushing it.
Yeah, totally crushing it.
Now, I do have one question. Eric, you don't know about this, but I need to know.
Oh.
Ari, from your experience, okay, Eric's 6'3". What are you, 190 pounds?
185. Yeah.
I'm 5'9". I'm shorter, but you can see I'm all right. I'm not the worst. You know, I'm 5'9", 155 pounds. Who do you think would make it further on The Bachelorette? Like, just
that's a great question.
I know you know Eric a bit more, so that's.
I mean, here's a tidbit. Okay. So if you're talking heights, there's never been a bachelor under 6 feet tall.
Okay.
Damn.
So.
And how many years? Like 20.
20.
How long has it been going
on? 25 years.
A bachelor. There's been some
bachelor.
People on The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If you're on The Bachelorette, like, you know, all there's, you know, tall, short, whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I swear it does not matter what you look like. I feel like it's more or less like how you carry yourself and how your confidence comes out on camera, because a lot of people when the cameras come on, they kind of like introvert themselves a little bit and they're not themselves and their personality doesn't shine through and they're like very reserved. And I think that's something that just like kills every contestant. Like if you're not comfortable with yourself in front of the camera, then like, you're just not going to make it far.
Okay. So that's so me. Okay. Thank you.
So I don't know.
I got a lot.
Look, this guy's like a trained actor. Matt's, you know, done a lot on camera. I'm kind of more behind the scenes type of guy. I would definitely crush on The Bachelor too, though.
No, I think I would Listen, I got boots. All my boots are 2-inch heels. So I'm essentially 6 feet with those bad boys on.
Yeah.
I'll be walking around in stilts.
Okay. Yeah, with some of them. How tall are you, Ari? I guess you're over 6 feet.
I'm 6'3", yeah.
Oh, so same as Eric. Yeah.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah, people are always like, oh, you're taller in person. And you're like, okay. Like, yeah, I guess. I don't know.
No, so I want to go back to one thing you said before you give the speech to the 30 women. Do they prep you at all on what to say for these? Do they give you like talking points or do you have to come up with that on your own? Because you were pretty smooth with it, with the delivery. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that. I could barely talk to my girlfriend. She's in the other room. So I can't imagine doing that with 30 people.
Yeah, they do have like, you know, their key phrases. I don't know if they like really tell you like, hey, this is what you need to say, but they're like, look, you should probably, gosh, what's an example? You know, you should probably thank them for coming. And then you could say like something like, well, I guess the one phrase when you walk into the room, you always say like, I could see my wife in this room or something right. like that. That's like one of the things they're like.
Yeah, that's a stock line.
They're like, hey, could you see that potentially that you could have a wife in that room? And you're like, yeah, you know, there's like 30 beautiful women. Like, why not? And they're like, okay, maybe you should tell them that, give them that. or just be like, you know, tell them that, you know, it works because you were in love on The Bachelorette. So you should really give them that piece of information because, you know, they're skeptical. So maybe let them know a little bit about your journey. So every bachelor or bachelorette will say something like, this worked for me. I fell in love before. And I definitely could see myself marrying somebody in this room. You know, that's like a standard line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how awkward on that first night is it when you don't give a rose to the couple women? Is it like so weird because you haven't done it yet and you just like don't choose them? And I guess they come up and give you a hug and say, is it awkward?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's like the first of many nights that you're going to have to do that. If you think about it, like you're breaking up with someone pretty much every day, so it's kind of torturous. God. You know, I think like in the beginning you're like, oh, this is gonna be great, I'm gonna date 30 women and this is gonna be so much fun, like this is every guy's dream. And then you're like, wait a second, I have to like break up with someone every day. That sounds miserable, you know, because how many of us have been in a relationship and they just avoid that altogether for like forever until they feel ready, right? But now you're doing it like daily.
Yeah,
that's insane.
That's I can't imagine. Did you have because you're a real estate agent when you were The Bachelor, was that like subconsciously like, sorry, you didn't get the rose, but if you need like, you know,
you slip them a business card right afterwards.
You're like, I'm with EXP.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be so funny.
Recruit Chad Johnson to your team.
Oh, I don't know if he'd be a good fit.
That guy was electric on Instagram Lives afterwards. Did you ever watch his lives like post Bachelor in Paradise?
No.
So for those at home, Chad Johnson was a Bachelorette contestant, Bachelor in Paradise. He's super jacked from Oklahoma, character, got in fights all the time. Then got his real estate license.
He ate like all the food.
He would just be eating like meat all the time.
Oh yeah.
And then he had
a realtor.
He started as a realtor. Yeah.
No, I think he got his real estate license afterwards.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't know the exact timeline. But I used to watch his IG lives, and they were the most electric things ever. And now he's doing OnlyFans, and I think he's crushing it. Doing OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
That's always right. Always a route.
There's always, once you got a following, I mean, you can kind of take it any way you'd wish, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if people will listen, you know, I mean, he is definitely a character. That guy is interesting.
Yeah. So Ari, we got some other fan questions and, you know, we know you have twins, family, life. This isn't, you know, probably not your priority today, but, should we fire off a couple more questions and,
questions. We can also do the not so lightning round.
Yeah, yeah.
To get them out of here. Yeah, we do a lightning round that's not so lightning because we don't actually think of the questions. We think of them on the spot. It makes for a fun time.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So your YouTube channel. I want to get into that real quick. So crazy engagement on that thing. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of views, millions of views. What, like, do you enjoy doing that? Is that part of, is there any real estate that's ever going to be tied into that? Or is it kind of like a family channel? Because it's like super high quality. And I mean, you're doing that like very consistently, right?
Yeah, we try to, it's been less now that the twins have been born, but we try to do that, you know, once, twice a week when we were doing it consistently. But yeah, that is pretty much family stuff. I will do some real estate on there. I'm just kind of waiting for like the right moment. I don't know. I'm always hesitant. I don't know why I'm hesitant to do it, but I feel like people tune in, don't see the babies. And am I really, really amazing and hot wife? I don't know if they're there for me, you know, I don't know.
Well, you're a hook in. I mean, definitely they're there for you and the family. I think if you mixed a little real estate, like say you're doing a 10-minute vlog style, you know, like Lauren's 30th birthday or whatever, then, you know, maybe it's like before this, you do a quick little showing of a house or something. So that way you're still, you know, peppering in that you're in real estate and housing and showing, you know, property tours or like, here's what's popping in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. That shit is visual and everybody wants to see that. Like I would want to see that. I
mean, people love our house tours. Like we love the house tours. We have a couple of renovation videos that we've done that they really like.
That's what I was going to say. Do that. Like make it like your personal houses. Everyone wants to see your house.
Yeah.
You know, and just like that's the way you can sprinkle in the real estate for now until, and then do the flips and stuff like that. I think that's the route for you.
Yeah, we had we did have a production company reach out. We were gonna do like a real estate based show here, and then it just never. We put together like a I don't even know what it's called, but it's like a little teaser, and then they sent it off to the networks, and it's like it needed a little something extra. But that was before the babies. That was like right when Alessi was born, and we're like entertaining doing that again. So we're kind of thinking about doing that, but I definitely should get on that with the YouTube. I love doing the YouTube. I think vlogging is really fun. We have a really good editor and he's like, I just send him everything and he puts it all together. So it's not too time consuming, but ever since we had the twins, we're just like, oh, it's like every day is like, you know, 90% of the day is taking care of them. And then it's like, whatever's left is like, we're spread so thin, you know, between Instagram, all the real estate clients, Lauren's fashion line, you know, it's like, sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'll take today. You work, do what you need to do. And then we'll like swap. So we definitely intend to do all that. And I think now we're finally coming up and getting some fresh air because they're 6 months old. So they're a little bit more predictable. And so we're going to like dive back into that stuff.
Got it.
That's cool. Like I say, well, let us know. We can make a feature anytime, you know, we're always here for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. And I want to see the Ari knocks on goes door knocking videos.
Door knocking. Yeah.
That'd be so funny.
That would be good.
Okay. Let's do our not so rapid fire, Eric.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll ask Matt's question unless you want to ask your own question.
No, it's my favorite question. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Ari, if you could have one celebrity, movie star, musician to work alongside you in real estate because you think they would be the best person for the job, who would it be?
Oh my God. Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Why her?
Because she's like obviously attractive. I feel like women rule real estate, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone would recognize her. So I'd get in any door.
True.
Yep.
And she has a British accent. And I feel like when you are tying real estate with luxury, if you have a British accent, like that's like the magic.
Yeah. I always say that. I've told this story a million times, but the guy behind me at my old brokerage was this Australian guy and his cold calling, he was probably a 90% success rate compared to mine because he just had like an Australian accent. I just sounded like an idiot compared to him. So,
I mean, granted, anyone who was sitting behind you would have had a 90% success rate compared to you, but
exactly. In the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man rules, right, Matt?
Yeah, well, that's a good call. We both said Leo DiCaprio. That was our.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, just could kind of be anything. You know, he's like a chameleon.
Yeah,
that's true.
But that's a great answer, Eric.
All right, I got one. What about the thoughts on the Chris Harrison controversy?
Oh man, that's a hard one.
Of course it is.
I love Chris, and Chris is my boy. Yeah. So I feel like it was too harsh. I feel like the show is not the same without him.
No.
And, you know, I feel like he's going to do bigger and better things with it. I feel like he had the Bachelor at its prime, and now it's just like slowly going downhill.
Agreed.
I hate to say that because I love everyone that works there, but I feel like when Chris left, it just like tainted it a little bit for me.
I do think something you said earlier, like the social media side of it is tainting it a little, because you do have so many people that are trying to get it on, or are trying to get on the show now to pitch a product or get that blue check, get, you know, make it three rounds, then you get 40,000 Instagram followers, and now you have a little brand ambassador career. So I do think it's kind of lost some of that, like, here for the right reason type of edge.
Yeah. So I feel like there's less romance. It's a little bit more like, you know, it's turning into like more like Love After Lockup or something, you know?
Right.
Like, it's a little bit more like, I don't know. It's like they're always trying to get to the drama. It's not really about like the relationship as much.
Cool. Yeah. 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 I agree. Okay. What's harder, winning a race, choosing the right person on The Bachelor, or closing a $5 million sale?
Great question.
What's harder or easier?
The hardest one out of those.
I guess list them 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we'll list them 1, 2, 3.
The easiest is closing the $5 million sale in this market, especially. Next is probably winning a race. And then the last one would be choosing the right person. Even though, like, hey, look, you know, if you look at all the seasons, there's only 3 married couples from this entire franchise of not the franchise, but The Bachelor in itself.
Like, who actually chose them on the show?
Or that are still married.
Okay.
Yeah. So Sean Lowe, Jason Mesnick, and myself. So I must have done something right. You know, maybe totally. You do need to choose the runner up and like lose them for a little bit to be able to really lock somebody down and marry them. I don't know.
That was so good.
It was the most dramatic season finale in Bachelor history, without a doubt.
I mean, it was good shit, man. I was all for it. I was like, you know what? He's got his right to do that.
Whatever. It's the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And like you said, clearly you made the right choice.
Yeah, totally. I feel like people are coming back around. Right after the season, though, man, I had to go in hiding, basically.
I'm sure.
Oh my God.
I was like watching night shows, and they would be like interviewing. I remember this interview with Charlize Theron, and Charlize Theron is like, so like, she's like a babe. She's cool. I always thought she was like the coolest actress. And like, I was like, oh, cool. They're talking about The Bachelor. And she's like, oh yeah. And that Ari guy, he's a dick. And I was like, oh, I was like, no.
That must be so heartbreaking for someone that like you admire and just say,
yeah,
that
it's like basically like, you know, you're like, look up to somebody and be like, oh, that person's like such a cool actress. And like, you know, I admire her and she's like so cool. And then they just like shit on you.
Like, yeah. Loved her in Hancock.
Great.
I love Hancock.
You love that? It's like the worst movie ever.
I love that movie.
Me saying that was a joke.
Like, I love that
Charlize,
movie. I know.
Charlize Theron is, you know, Academy Award winning actress. I said Hancock.
I love that movie. I don't care. I love
you seen
that
Hancock,
movie.
Ari? Final question. Yeah. Have you seen Hancock?
Have superpowers. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will exactly. Smith, you know. Jason Bateman, Charlize Theron. A fantastic cast.
Yeah, it's a great cast. Terrible movie.
Yeah. Will Smith drunk all funny. The time. Yeah. Superhero.
The concept was sick for sure.
Yeah. I thought it was good. Eric, do you have one more question to wrap this
up? I guess where can the people find you? Do you have anything to promote? YouTube channel, Instagram? Like, if you had to direct them, is your EXP link possibly? If you had to say, come here, find me.
Yes.
Where should they?
I would say that, I would say my Instagram. Every Thursday, I do a Zoom opportunity call for EXP.
Sweet.
I am trying to grow the largest real estate team in the US. Right now, we've got, I'm teamed up with Tarek El Moussa, and we have a ton of agents. It's going really, really well. It's a really cool collaborative group. We have, you know, specific branding. We have a WhatsApp that we tie everybody in together. We do coaching 6 days a week on Zoom. And so it is like the coolest group. I'm really happy that I made that switch. So I would say head to my Instagram. I promote it once a week. I'll probably promote it today, but the call is every Thursday. And once I put up that link, you can like fill in your email address and then I'll send you a link to the Zoom. But yeah, that's kind of my, you know, that is my goal, is to build the biggest real estate team with Tarek.
Awesome. And we'll drop that link in the description as well.
Cool.
We will drop that link. Ari, I mean, don't be shy to hit that follow button over on my page too. No problem.
We'll do.
And, you know, be, slide into Ari's DMs. Who knows, you know, especially if you're looking to buy, he might actually
specifically if you're looking to buy a thing.
Yeah. If you're,
better.
You never know.
Slide in. Buy one right now.
If you're looking to sell, definitely slide in. If you're looking to buy, if you don't have $1 million plus, you're probably not looking too good. If you're just a fan, he appreciates it, but kindly step aside. You know, he's got.
There you go. Look, I just hit the follow button. So
there we go.
Right on air.
Let's go.
Right on air.
He just made Matt's week. Thank you.
I'm gonna just screenshot that and show my wife. She's gonna friggin' take the rest of the day off work. All right. Awesome. Well, Ari, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good meeting you, and keep up the good work over there.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Take it easy.
Take care.
Later.